But I think you do make a really good point there that this could be an opportunity to be able to see where your future leaders are, to be able to see, all right, so who's actually coming forward and using this time to be productively thinking about their job and how they can make their environment better when they go back to work versus the people who see this as extra time to play video games.
This episode is brought to you by Backlooper. Have you ever gotten a negative review online? Better yet, have you ever gotten a negative review online that you actually found to be useful? Now, wouldn't you have preferred that that guest contacted you directly? Every organization has its flaws, and you shouldn't be learning about yours through social media. Backlooper was created to solve this problem directly by collecting better feedback data from more guests, especially compared to online review sites and many other feedback collection methods. By using Backlooper's intuitive reporting, you can better understand what your guests are saying in masses and make quick decisions from the results. To learn how you can substantially increase the amount of feedback you receive from your guests and start with a no-risk plan, visit amusementadvantage.com/backlooper and contact me directly at josh@amusementadvantage.com. It's time to spend less time wondering what your guests are thinking and more time connecting with them on a personal level.
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where professionals in the attractions business can get tips, tools, and even a bit of inspiration.
Join us as we tackle some of the most important topics facing the attractions industry today and gain insights from some of the top leaders, creators, and influencers from the exciting world of theme parks, zoos, museums, aquariums, and family entertainment centers.
Because this show is created by Attraction Pros for Attraction Pros. I am Josh Liebman, Director of Business Development for Amusement Advantage. I help attractions understand and improve their guest experience.
And I'm Matt Heller, founder of Performance Optimist Consulting. I help leaders lead and work with attractions to increase employee engagement and retention.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and enjoy the leading resource for attractions industry professionals, the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt. Not even going to ask how's it going today.
You can ask.
All right, how's it going?
Well, I won't say it's fantastic, but you got to keep a smile and keep looking forward, and you know, things aren't great right now as we are dealing with COVID-19, but I think eventually things are going to get better.
I think so too. It's just a matter of when, and obviously, you know, our goal is to record evergreen content for this podcast, and this is probably as far as opposite from that as we can. So yeah. If you're listening to this in the immediate release of it, that hopefully we're all on the same page that this gets better sooner rather than later. And if you're listening to this in the future, then hopefully it did.
Yeah. Well put. Well, and I think some of the things we've talked about will be somewhat evergreen in terms of, you know, remote work and that kind of thing. But the reason we're talking about it hopefully will not be evergreen.
True. Exactly. Yeah, it is definitely quite an interesting time. I say for our industry, but it's such an interesting time for the world. Like, we've never been through anything like this before. The last time there was a pandemic was 1918 with the bird flu. And obviously, you know, people couldn't really work from home in the same ways that they can today. So a lot of whatever they did back then to cope with it and quarantine and isolation and social distance themselves doesn't necessarily apply today. I guess that can be said for the better or for the worse, probably.
Right. Do you think back in 1918 that social distancing was a term?
I had never heard of it until just a few days before this recording.
Me either. Yeah. But, you know, it was funny because I was talking to someone earlier today and I said, you know, our industry is really about bringing people together. And that's the one thing you can't do right now. I mean, whether it's a group of 10, a group of 50 or tens of thousands of people, right? I mean, that's if we're going to try to contain this so that it doesn't spread, you know, we have to do what our industry was designed not to do, or I don't know if I said that right, but we can't do what our industry was designed to do.
Right. And it's frightening to hear that just from a psychological standpoint of just saying, like, you can't have these large gatherings. You can't have such large operations open, theme parks, you know, movie theaters, now they're saying restaurants, bars, and all of that is just so counter to what we are living and breathing and passionate about every single day.
Exactly. Exactly. I just saw, just before we started this, I saw a meme that said, check on your extroverts. We are not okay.
That's true. The introverts are really thriving right now.
This is what they've been planning for. But yeah,
social distancing. Yes. I've been doing that forever.
Exactly. Exactly. So, well, you know, with this social distancing, with this new normal of working from home, this is something that you and I have been doing, not because of the coronavirus, but because of choice, right, for many, many years. And, we were trying to think of some ways that we could help people and help the industry. And one of those things that popped up, you know, you brought this up, I thought it was a great idea, is what are some of those tips if you're newly working from home? What are some of those things that maybe we've learned over the years that might help somebody who's new at this?
Right, exactly. And you know, the reason for this episode is you and I chatting and saying, like, what can we do to use this podcast as a platform and as a resource? And, you know, you and I are not experts in, you know, health and safety, sanitation. I mean, hopefully we are for our own, you know, personal environments, but
I wash my hands all the time.
Oh my God, me too. I've been doing that compulsively, I think, since I was like 5. So this is not new to me.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, what is something that you and I do have in common that a lot of other people are just starting to get used to? And this is definitely something that you and I have become quite used to over the last several years of remote working. And what's really funny, actually, that you and I also have in common is that both of our wives also work from home too. So we're living together and, you know, working from home at the same time, which is very unusual for normal daily life that now people are kind of being introduced to our worlds.
Exactly. And one other thing that we have in common that we might not be able to give a lot of input or insight on is, you know, now schools are closed too. So right. Let's add a layer onto this. Yes, you're being asked to work from home, if that is part of what you can do in the capacity of your job, but now your kids are home too. Right. So that adds another layer of complexity that, you know, I don't have kids, you don't have kids, so I'm not going to be able to provide a whole lot of insight on that part of it.
Right. So we'll give disclaimers on things we're experts about. Right. Things, well, experts, I say in air quotes, things that right. that maybe we can offer some guidance on in this regard,
that's
aside
right.
from the things that we normally claim to be experts on, you know, leadership and staff development for you, guest experience, guest loyalty, feedback,
absolutely.
All that. And you know, what's funny is, you know, you and I kind of collaboratively came up with a list, which is a really solid list. It's pretty concise too. It's not an overwhelming laundry list that we're going to, you know, bore you all with today. But what I find funny, and I don't know if you felt the same way too, but going through and making this list, I am 100% guilty of breaking every single one of these guidelines that we're about to discuss. I just want to say that up front. I do my best with each of these. So maybe this is also an exercise in how I can continually refine the way that I work from home and all of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm guilty of that as well. When I look through these and I think, well, this is something I'm, you know, I see this as a best practice. I see this as something that's helped me, but I don't see this as something I do 100% of the time.
Right. So this podcast is as much for us as it is for all of you.
So you
and by
all
of you, I mean those who are working from home.
That's right. And we appreciate you allowing us to kind of work through these issues that we have.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with all of that preface, would you like to jump into the first one?
Sure, absolutely. So the first one here, I will read from what is considered to be the office in my relatively new condo that my wife and I just bought about 5 months ago that is currently overflowing with lots of things being stored in here that will go into other rooms. But this first tip is designate workspace. Is having that specific area of your home, whether it's, you know, if you can have a full room dedicated towards it, or at least just a desk or something that you can just say, all right, this is my office right here, to allow you to be able to disconnect from home life and enter into work life, that there's definitely that immediate notice that you are, you know, you're not just at home, you are at work.
And, you know, it's really about being in the kind of the headspace. You know, you've got your relaxing space, you've got your hanging out with your family space, and then you've got your workspace. And for the majority of people who've never worked at home before, those are vastly different spaces, separated potentially by a commute, you know, of however long, 10 minutes or an hour, you know.
Right.
And then they're in a different building. They're in a completely different setting. There's new people, different people around. So I agree with that totally, that, you know, if you can designate, even if it's a corner of your kitchen table, you know, as a temporary workspace, and you say, this is sort of my domain, and I can, you know, get my laptop here and spread out my papers and whatever I need to do to kind of have that dedicated space so that you are in that zone, you know, I think that helps. Now, to your point earlier, that you break all these rules, I have I have 6 or 7 spots around my house that I consider my office.
Right.
So I have my home office, which has all of my you know, amusement park memorabilia in it, right? So I really feel like I'm in the amusement park attraction space, and this really helps me, you know, identify what it is I do and who it is that I serve. But, you know, on a nice day, I like to take the laptop outside, you know, or I like to, you know, sit in a recliner out in the living room, or sometimes it depends on where my wife is. Sometimes, you know, she's working on her computer and I can work on mine, and we can be together in the same space, but working on completely different things. And sometimes that's just kind of nice. So, I think you designate that workspace for what works for you, and sometimes that may vary. Your mileage may vary based on what it is that you're working on.
Yeah, and to that point too, if you do have other people in your home, whether it's your spouse or whether it is your children, is being able to, and this is kind of expanding on this designated workspace, is making everyone aware of that designated workspace. And even if it is just the kitchen table, or even if it is just the corner of this room right here, just to say, hey, when I am at this spot, it is as if I am in the office. I am at work right now. I might be taking a phone call. I might be responding to an email. I can't necessarily respond to an immediate request as if I could outside of normal work hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that was actually one of the things that I had further down on the list, but I think based on what you just said, it bears talking about, is involving your family, right? And especially when you have a spouse or you know, now kids with the schools closed, you know, you may have to dedicate a different time, maybe when the kids are in bed, right? You know, to do some more work when you have a little bit more time. But, you know, kind of involving the entire audience of people that are going to be around you with that, and not just assume that when your laptop is out on the kitchen table or the counter or wherever it is, that everybody's going to know that that's work time. So right. I think it's important to kind of involve everybody as you're planning that time in the space.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So does that count for two?
I think it does. On my list, I checked off two.
Okay. All right. So excellent.
We're good.
So I'll add to the third one here, and that is get dressed for the day. Now, unless you have, you know, video conference calls, you might not necessarily need to dress in, whether you dress business casual or in your work uniform or whatever it is. But definitely put something else on that at least allows you to kind of go through the day and make yourself feel presentable. And, you know, like I said, the amount of times, or the amount of these rules that I've broken, I can tell you the amount of times where I've gotten up and just – started my day, and I'm still in sweatpants and the clothes I slept in, basically. Can't tell you how many times I've done that. I may or may not have recorded podcasts in my pajamas before. I don't know if you
have. Well, okay, so full disclosure, it is 5:37 p.m. on a Monday right now, Eastern time. And yes, I'm still in my sweats, and I am not what you would call business presentable right now. But
sure,
that's the beauty of doing an audio podcast.
Right, exactly. I will tell you, I'm wearing blue jeans right now, and I think this is like the most dressed that I'll be all week. I'll probably just be wearing gym clothes for the rest of the week. That's usually okay. What I try to do, because I feel like putting on gym clothes motivates me to go to the gym. The last several weeks, that hasn't been the case. Usually it is, but you know, sometimes it helps.
Well, and I think that also goes back to getting into the right headspace. You know, I see this recommendation all the time, you know, get dressed, right? And again, like you said, it doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be business casual. You don't have to, you know, you could have, you know, your jeans or dress pants on and slippers or whatever. But, you know, this is probably one that I agree with, but I rarely do. And
sure.
I don't know why. It's just something, and you know, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is kind of finding your prime time. If it's just you and your spouse, or, you know, you don't have kids in the house, you can kind of play with this a little bit, but you know, my prime time is early in the morning. And so if I can roll out of bed 6 o'clock and I can jump on the laptop and I can start working, I'm usually much more productive in that time. And I can get more done in a couple of hours early in the morning, like even before breakfast, than I can, you know, later on in the day. Obviously there's more distractions and things like that, but that just in my mind and my body, I am really awake, really alert, you know, all the synapses are firing. And so if I take the time to get out of bed and then get dressed or take a shower or, you know, those kind of things, then that kind of slows down my mojo, if you will. So I think there's a balance here. And you know, of course, then, you know, the thing I run into is that I'm in my sweats at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm doing this work, and then, you know, breakfast happens and then I have a call and then I've got to record a podcast with you. And then I've got all these other things, and 7 o'clock in the evening comes and I'm still in my sweats.
Right.
That does happen. But I wholeheartedly believe in that mindset, that if you are, especially if you're used to being in dressier clothes, then that would help you get into the business mindset.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's number three.
That is number four. Three. Yeah. So number four is one that we absolutely agreed on, maintaining a regular meal schedule. And, you know, I think this one is important because, you know, just from a health standpoint, right? You don't want to go too long without eating. You don't want to, you know, eat too much. So whatever your routine was before for eating, like I just mentioned, if I get up at 6 and I work till 8:30 or 9, and that's my normal, you know, breakfast time, then great. You know, if you are someone who gets up and has, you know, your breakfast right away, then do that, you know, when you're at home. Also kind of maintaining that regular meal schedule. You know, if you've got, you know, a lunch piece of time, I don't want to say necessarily lunch hour, but you know, some time set aside for lunch, then do that. You know, unless you have something specific, a meeting or a call or something like that, that's interfering with that, you know, try to keep to that schedule, because that kind of keeps you disciplined. And you also know when you're supposed to be working and when you're supposed to be, you know, when it's okay to take a break, I guess.
Right. And, you know, the cool thing about this one too is, you know, if you're working in an office or if you're, you know, commuting and going to work, then you are, you know, doing one of a few things. You're packing a lunch and bringing it with you, you know, something that maybe you made that morning or, you know, put together the night before, or you are getting lunch at work, or you're going out to eat for lunch. And now you have the opportunity to kind of have a meal at home in the middle of the day that might be something a little bit more or a little bit better than what is worthy of kind of packing up and taking for lunch, and, you know, fresher and could be, you know, freshly prepared. You know, we've been making a lot of sandwiches in the middle of the afternoon, but definitely like more than a sandwich that we would normally just kind of like take with us for lunch, and knowing that, you know, I can put a fried egg on there and it'll be, you know, freshly prepared, and just being able to kind of like have a real meal that is, you know, going to be healthier, it's going to be fresher, and it's going to be more cost effective than the alternative options.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this to me sort of cross references with the discussion of prime time, because, you know, if you are working in an environment where you're typically there from, you know, whatever, 8 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever, and, you know, you find that your prime time is later in the evening, then, you know, you may be doing household things in the morning, and, you know, maybe you're more productive in the evening. And so now you're working around maybe lunch and dinner instead of breakfast and lunch. But, you know, whatever that routine is for you, I think is important to keep those meals relatively consistent, knowing that there's going to be variables certainly every day. But, you know, to your point, Josh, I really think it's important, you know, nutrition is really important. And when you're eating something that other people are preparing, you're eating in a restaurant, or you're eating something even that you brought from home, I do definitely agree that you can eat better when you were at home with your ingredients in your kitchen and those type of things. Plus, you don't get the bags of moldy food in the refrigerator that say John on them, and John hasn't worked there for 6 months. You know what I mean? So you avoid that too. So as we talk some benefits of working from home, that's one that you can put in the pro column.
I forgot about that one. It's just been so long. Or who ate my sandwich?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that kind of ties nicely into the next one here, which is take designated breaks, whether it is for meal breaks. I know that you mentioned, you know, if you have your lunch hour, I say in air quotes, or a lunch designated time of, you know, when you're at home, and let's say you're at your laptop or your computer, and, you know, it, similar to being in the office, that you are responding immediately if an email comes in, or, you know, if the phone rings, to be able to allow yourself just throughout the day, you know, definitely having kind of a solid break for lunch where you're putting your computer away, you're, you know, you're not taking phone calls, you're not checking emails. And then even just throughout the day, get up and stretch your legs, walk around. If you're able to take a walk outside, if that's still allowed by the time that this episode airs, or, you know, a few days after.
Goodness, you
know,
I hope so.
Do it all within restrictions, you know, available. And, you know, just get some fresh air and be able to kind of take a little bit of time to just disconnect. Even if you have to take a 15-minute break, you know, at a couple times throughout the day, it just helps kind of reset and kind of avoid what you just mentioned a few minutes ago, which happened to me all the time, which is you wake up, you start working, and then the next thing you notice, it's 7 o'clock at night.
Right, right. You know, I love what you said there about getting some fresh air. I think that is incredibly important. You know, many of the people who probably are listening to this are used to working in environments where if they're not outside quite a bit, there's an opportunity to be outside and, you know, not always indoors. And I think that's really important to kind of maintain that, because, you know, you can go a little stir crazy. You know, if you're mm-hmm. inside all the time and you're, you know, as good as your HVAC system may be, you know, it's still not the same as being outside and getting some of that vitamin D from the sun if it is sunny. And, you know, kind of to that point, I did see recently that, you know, national parks are saying that, you know, if you're coming, you know, kind of by yourself, or, you know, in tiny, tiny groups, you know, that it's still okay to go to national parks. We're open. At least again, at the time of this recording,
right.
So, you know, getting out and taking a walk and doing those things really are incredibly beneficial to your thought process and, you know, keeping your mind clear and that kind of thing. I will also say that sometimes you get a little sleepy and it's okay to take a nap. I'm not going to lie.
Ooh, I like that one.
I'm not going to lie, you know, And now, again, you kind of have to know yourself, right? You have to know your prime time. I'm a power napper, so I can take 10, 15 minutes and just, you know, be refreshed and, you know, ready to go. My wife, on the other hand, if she's down for 15 minutes, she's down for 2 hours. You know, that's just the way her sleep pattern works. So if that doesn't work for you, if a little siesta in the afternoon doesn't work, then don't do it. But, you know, I guess kind of the point of all this, take a break, take a walk, get some fresh air, take a nap. You know, it's all about sort of that little bit of recharge that you can give yourself throughout the day. So it's not just, you know, all work from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night or whenever you set your hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And I'm definitely adding take naps onto my list.
Good. Good. Now, there's
not one I had previously considered.
There's something.
Actually, I will say.
No, go ahead.
When I used to consult for hotels, that actually was part of my regular routine because my office was a hotel room.
Okay. There you go.
And oftentimes I would have to like audit like room service in the middle of the night. So like my sleep schedule was like way out of whack. So yeah, sometimes I would be like, 2 to 4, I got nothing going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that is another piece to consider, right? You know, if your normal work day is, you know, certain hours, if it's second shift or third shift or something, and now you're at home, well, you know, if you can try to keep that pattern or whatever pattern works for your family the best, then, you know, work that out. You know what I mean? So keeping everybody kind of in the loop, but also trying to do what's going to be best for you. And one of the things I was going to add on to the kind of take a break conversation is to be aware of the distractions, because it can be easy to, you know, I love what you said about, you know, close your laptop, you know, put your phone on silent or whatever during your break. Maybe you're reading a book on your break, or, you know, it's on your phone or whatever, and you can kind of really get into it. Or, you know, you say, I'm just going to, you know, turn on Netflix for 15 minutes or 20 minutes while I'm having lunch. And then, you know, 2 hours later, you're into the history of the United States and, you know, you're binging, you know, Breaking Bad or something. And so just beware that is entirely possible. You know,
for sure,
when you are working from home, it's the best and the worst, because it's the best because you are completely your own boss of your time. It's the worst because you're completely your own boss of your time. And right. So you've got to really be watching that closely.
And if you are, you know, if you've got Netflix on in the background or whatever streaming service or, you know, regular TV, you definitely are not as focused on work. Even if you think you are, it's, you know, I tried it. Trust me, it's not the same.
No, it's not. It's not. And, yeah. You know, I think that's another way that you kind of know yourself, right? If you can concentrate, and maybe it's the kind of work that you're doing,
right.
You know, if you're putting together, you know, a really extensive report and you really have to concentrate, having something in the background, I know for me it would be very, very distracting. You know, my wife, when she's creating a greeting card, you know, she's got to have it pretty quiet. But when she's like cleaning and, you know, doing other things where it's not as intense, she has to have that on. Otherwise she can't concentrate. So, you know, I think that's
a fair point. Yeah.
Per person. Yeah.
I was just going to say, yeah, if I'm doing like a purely administrative kind of brainless task, then yeah, it definitely helps to just be able to, I can focus on something else while just kind of like updating this spreadsheet completely the same. But if it is something like if I'm trying to do something for a client, or yeah, if I'm putting together a presentation or something to that effect, then yeah, no, I kind of need to have no distractions.
Right. Right. Well, so we just chunked off a couple of them with that one. We just knocked off a bunch of off our list. but there is one that we've kind of skirted around a little bit that I want to talk a little bit about, and that is maintain business hours the best that you can. So as we're talking about, you know, when you're going to work and your schedule and things like that, you know, it's good to kind of have a routine. It's also good to realize that if you wanted to, you could work 24/7. And
right.
Especially if you, you know, are married, or if you don't have kids, you know, it's just you and your spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is, you know, and maybe like Josh and I, they work from home too, you know, and they're like, well, I can just work more 15 more minutes. Well, I can work 15 more minutes. And then that turns into a half an hour. And, you know, you almost have to plan your time together, even though you live together. I don't know, Josh, if you've had this happen, but you know, there's times when my wife and I have to say, okay, this is when we're going to spend our time together, even though we work in the same house, we live in the same house, you know, sometimes based on our schedules, we have to say, okay, we're going to, you know, cut out all work, and this is when we're going to spend our time together. So, you know, it's really about kind of work-life balance. And when you work from home, that that line is very, very blurry, very gray.
Yep.
So you could yeah. at lunch, you could be doing laundry, right? And that's one of those distractions that can take you away from work. But so you might have to plan that time a little bit more strategically.
Right. Yeah. And to that end, you know, you said those lines are blurred. You know, that is something that I see every single day, and something of something that I'm not only guilty of, but very aware of, and always trying to think, okay, what can I do to make those lines more defined? Because, you know, especially because we both are working from home, and you have the same with Linda, and now many other people are probably in the same position, that there is very little difference between waking up and starting your workday and ending your workday and being at home. It all just filters through together. So maintaining those business hours the best you can. Again, last night I was on the couch on my laptop at 11 o'clock, you know, while my wife was watching TV, and it was a show I wasn't interested in. So I was able to just be focusing on work. But like, to your point, we weren't together. I was at work, she was watching TV. We just happened to be next to each other on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that, you know, as we talked about earlier about designating your space, that if you can have a specific area, if that area happens to have any kind of door, that the symbolism of closing the door at the end of your workday, you know, is very powerful. It's a habit. It's a conscious thought, you know, but if I walk out of my home office and I close the door, and I say to myself, I'm not going to go back in there tonight. You know, I'm not going to, you know, log onto my computer again. That's a powerful statement to see that door that's closed.
Right. And you really need to set that boundary of saying, all right, when I am in this room, nothing that is not work related can be done. And at the same time, when I am out of this room, nothing work related can be done outside of the room.
Which, again, becomes a little more difficult as you and I have identified that there's many places throughout the house, right, that we like to, yeah, work.
So it ties back, yes, in with designate workspace, absolutely, which is why we acknowledge we aren't perfectionists at this. These are purely guidelines that we're just trying to help.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're just trying to help the transition.
Right. Yeah. Right. One of the things that I thought of too is definitely take advantage of the benefits from working from home. That there are a lot of things that you do have to your advantage when you are not going into an office. For instance, if you've got a commute, you now have a 0-minute commute. You now have actually more time built into your day to be able to, whether it's focus on work-related tasks or home-related tasks or spending time with family, whatever it is, you no longer have a commute. You are able to potentially, especially if you are properly designated time for breaks, multitask with maybe some home tasks that would have otherwise been on the weekends or nights and weekends or just otherwise when you're not working. Like, for instance, you know, I did laundry this morning kind of while working because it only took me 2 minutes to go put my laundry in and then 2 minutes to flip my laundry and then 1 minute to just take my laundry out. I haven't folded it yet, but, you know, I can do that later on. But it was something that otherwise would have been something of, oh, I really need to do this when I get home from work.
Yeah.
If you have home repair needs, we've had a lot of those recently. We had someone in the house earlier who's a specialist. We've had, you know, our contractor is in the house, and there's definitely so many benefits to that because we're able to just communicate with them throughout the day and not have to schedule specific times to be able to do that. So if you're not taking advantage of the benefits, to at least acknowledge them and know that, hey, there are some very good aspects of being able to have more control over your schedule while you're at home.
I would agree with that. And one of the things that my wife and I have tried to do, again, this is one of those, you know, it's a good idea and, you know, we probably need to implement it more. And given the current state of things, probably isn't all that germane to our discussion, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that as you talk about, you know, those things that you could, you know, that might potentially wait for a weekend or your weekend. You know, if your weekend right now is Saturday and Sunday, well, that's when things tend to get busier in stores and things like that. So, you know, if you're working from home, you have the opportunity maybe to do those things during the week where, you know, you might still be working a little bit on the weekend, but now, you know, you don't have to deal with the crowds that might be there on the weekends. Or, you know, one of the things that my wife and I talk a lot about is, you know, grocery shopping, right? And, you know, a lot of times it's busier on a Saturday. So instead of going Saturday, you go Tuesday night. Right. And so now exactly. we've got that taken care of and we can do something else on Saturday. So, again, you know, not maybe as germane right now if you're trying to kind of self-quarantine, but, you know, if you're continuing to work at home in the future, that might be something that you want to think about.
Sure. I've done that with my gym schedule as well, because I've noticed, oh, wow, it's really busy at 7 o'clock in the morning and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm going to go either at 10 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon and be able to get the other work from home people there. Again, something that probably doesn't apply now. I don't even know if my gym is going to be open by the time this airs, but right. Still something to keep in mind.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this also kind of leads to another thing that is a little bit less about just being at home and in that space. But we all know that, you know, when you work someplace, it's very social, right? So don't forget that social need that a lot of us have, even if it's, you know, just the quote unquote air quotes water cooler talk, or, you know, just little things throughout the day. You know, you text a friend and say hello, or, you know, you give them a call or jump on a quick Skype or something like that. To me, that's very similar to taking the breaks that we talked about earlier. You know, just get your mind away from work for a little bit, get you refreshed. You know, you get to talk to somebody. It's not just, you know, nose to the grindstone kind of thing. And I think, you know, maintaining those relationships is really, really important and really helpful too.
Absolutely. 100%. And definitely something that we have the advantage of today that they did not have this advantage during the 1918 bird flu pandemic, of being able to connect with someone immediately via FaceTime, you know, not even just via call or, you know, of course, you know, we don't have to list what those technologies are. You all know what they are. But yeah, definitely keeping close connection with other people because they need it just as well as you do. They're in the same boat.
Right.
We're all in this together. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it benefits them as much as it will benefit you as well. And it's something you have to kind of think about. Just like all the other things we've been talking about, there's a strategy to it, right? Not to say that I'm going to call Josh at 9:03 a.m., right? Not so much, but, you know, at least be thinking about it. Hey, who's somebody I want to connect with today? Or, you know, as you're on business calls, you know, don't forget that part of business is the relationship. So, you know, don't think that, hey, I'm working from home, it just has to be business. You know, you can still exchange some pleasantries and, you know, build relationships while you're doing business.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. 100% agree. And, you know, if there's any others that any of our listeners or our audience has to recommend, you know, we're all ears. You know, we want to be able to share them, but we probably need them for ourselves too. So definitely something to, you know, reach out to us on the socials. So tying into that last point of staying connected socially, please tweet to us, you know, write us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, reply to, you know, one of our, you know, MailChimp email blasts, you know, you know where to get to hold of us.
All of them.
Get
all
hold of
them.
Us if you'd like. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Josh, I appreciate, you know, you taking the time to put this list together and all those things, but there's one other thing that I actually wanted to talk about that I don't really have an answer for, but it does play into how we've kind of been displaced, people working from home and that kind of thing. You know, at this time, pretty much every amusement and attraction facility that I know of is closed. And if they weren't going to be closed, if they were open already, they're closed. And if they weren't already open, they've delayed their opening based on, you know, recommendations from the CDC and that type of thing. But what has happened is now that there's workers at home that may not, like we've been talking about, be used to working at home, but some of them are not necessarily people that have office work. Right. For example, right. Somebody that is a ride operator or somebody that is a, you know, an attendant at a museum, their job is really about being at that facility. So it's wonderful that the employers that have been able to do so are paying them through the time that they're off. And they've said, hey, we're going to pay you for the next couple of weeks and, you know, that kind of thing. But my question is, does that leave some expectation that even if they're a frontline employee, that when they're at home, they're getting paid by their employer. So is there an expectation that they would do some work? I'm curious what your thought is.
Well, first of all, I just want to recognize kind of the magnitude of that statement of these organizations that are offering to continue paying their full-time employees for their scheduled shifts during this time, which is an absolute, I mean, it's completely unprecedented, right? Like there's no, you know, looking back really on what the right thing to do is. So that's just another amazing reason why I love this industry and seeing these organizations going beyond the call of duty to pay hourly employees for hours that they don't have the ability to work and for those businesses to be able to make that revenue.
Agreed.
I don't know what that answer is. If these employers are paying their hourly employees for work that they're not able to do, I would think that the expectation is that these employees would be doing the responsible thing and staying home and not exposing themselves to others so that when the businesses do reopen, that we don't end up back in the same situation. That when it's gone, it's gone. And that the employees have been doing their duty to keep themselves distanced, to keep themselves safe, to keep themselves healthy. If they are feeling any symptoms, if they are, you know, feeling like they are getting sick, then they are taking the responsible action towards that, and that they are not coming back to work potentially infected.
You know, I like that viewpoint. So part of their job really is to stay home and be healthy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's part of what they're getting paid for.
Right.
That's a really interesting perspective. I was also looking at it as, you know, I know that a lot of frontline employees, you know, have really great ideas and they have, you know, great thoughts on, you know, improving the business and things like that. And, you know, if they are home, you know, would it be appropriate for them to have, you know, kind of a project of, hey, while you're home, yes, we want you to be safe and we want you to take care of yourself. But if you have thoughts and ideas about how to improve the business, we'd love to hear that too. So if you could put some thought into that maybe, and, you know, put together, you know, a couple of paragraphs or something about that. I mean, I don't personally think that's inappropriate to ask of that. But I'm curious maybe even what other people are thinking, or, you know, if you are with an organization that is able to pay your team members through that time, what is your expectation? What do you think is the right thing to do? So
mm-hmm.
I'm really curious about that too. You know, I'm looking at it from an employee relationship where you're paying them to do something. And, you know, granted, I agree with Josh, what you just said about, you know, part of what you're paying them for is to be home and to be healthy. But if they're home and they're healthy, could they be doing something productive
too? Right. You can make them all social media ambassadors, just open up social media access. Take that with a grain of salt. That's right. Not an official recommendation from the podcast. You know, I think you make a valid point that I don't think it's totally out of line to be asking your employees for something while they are on the clock. My concern then would be, as long as you're not asking them to do something that is out of the boundaries from what their general expectations are at work, to be able to conflict with what you've hired and trained them to do. I don't know if that really makes sense or not, but if it's like, you know, something that they might not necessarily be qualified for, you know, you mentioned, you know, put together a few paragraphs on, you know, how we can improve the business, something like that. As long as you don't have a specific set expectation for what that's going to be, and that it's not going to affect any future compensation or employment guarantee in the future.
I totally hear what you're saying, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that really is not my intent. You know, when I say if you have an idea for a you know, to improve the business, this is something that maybe they're already thinking of, right? And maybe it was something where, you know, Josh, if you're my employee, and you know, before all of this, you had said, man, I wish we could do X, Y, and Z. You know, maybe now I can say, Josh, you're going to be at home for a couple of weeks. I would love to hear more about that. So if you could jot down some ideas about that, I would love to hear that, you know, when you come back, or, you know, you can call me or whatever, and we'll talk a little bit about it. It's those kind of things that I think we can expect. But, you know, I hadn't even thought about, you know, that part, but I think that's a great thing to really consider is, you know, if somebody is hired to be a frontline cashier, you're not going to ask them to do some P&L spreadsheet that your finance guy is supposed to be doing, right? I mean, that's just not going to happen. So, I think that's really, really great. A really great piece of advice and something to think about.
But I think you do make a really good point there, that this could be an opportunity to be able to see where your future leaders are. And that if you throw out some sort of challenge to your team, and it's not mandatory, it's just, hey, we know that you have suggestions, you know, for improving operations to the business, and obviously we can't implement anything today, but now's the perfect time to at least have discussions about it. This is the perfect time for any of talking about how would this work logistically or administratively, to be able to see, all right, so who's actually coming forward and using this time to be productively thinking about their job and how they can make their environment better when they go back to work, versus the people who see this as extra time to play video games.
Exactly.
For example. Yeah.
just for example, although that's funny, right? Because in a recent conversation, I heard that exact same comparison. You know, are they doing something productive, or are they just playing video games?
I swear I was not on that call.
I know you weren't, but what's interesting is that, you know, from what you just said, you could really start to see who's got sort of that dedication, you know, and drive. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to speak to some folks who are in that boat where they've shut down, they're paying people. And they've got people that are chomping at the bit to come in and work. And, you know, I think part of that too is, you know, if they've created a culture where people feel valued for the work they do, then they want to keep doing that work no matter what. Right.
Right.
And they want to,
exactly. You feel like you should be at work. You should
exactly.
be doing something.
Right. And so maybe there's a way to sort of tap into that as well. You know, again, not asking them to do anything that's outside of their job description, but, you know, tap into that desire to do some work and you know, see how it can benefit you. I think one of the other things that we really need to kind of focus on, and maybe even it's getting our team members to focus on, is what happens when we do come back, right? Because I mean, knock on wood, we're coming back, right? And we're gonna reopen at some point, and people are gonna be back to work. But what does that look like? Is it gonna be different? You know, are we gonna have to do things, you know, different than we've done before? And, you know, I think sometimes we need that spark or that little bit of hope to say, we're going to make it, we're going to open up again. So what's something that we can do in the meantime to, you know, get us thinking that way, so that we're not sort of, you know, getting depressed and saying, oh, this is terrible, I'm going to lose my house, and, you know, those kind of things. How can I work forward instead of getting stuck in, you know, a depressive state.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So, like you said, if there's anybody that has any input on those last couple things we talked about, or certainly any other thoughts on how we can, you know, better help people that are now working from home, we would love to hear them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to kind of echo your statement of, you know, we will get through this. We're all in this together. You know, we're following along. We are watching the closures as they're coming in. You know, our hearts go out to all those who've been directly affected by this virus, and and to their families and to just everyone who has either been impacted from it medically, as well as those who've been impacted by this economically, which we all are. We all have been. We all will continue for the foreseeable future. But we're here to help, you know, with whatever we can do with this podcast as a resource for the industry. And, you know, we just want to make sure, like you said, that we come out on the other side even bigger and stronger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Josh, thank you for your time and you know, your attention to the industry and certainly for putting this together. I want to thank everybody out there for staying positive and staying optimistic. And of course, thanks for being Attraction Pros.
Thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Attraction Pros podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to drop us a line on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, and make sure to follow us on all the social channels.
And make sure you've subscribed to the show so you can get the latest episodes every single week. Also, if you're new to the show, be sure to check out all the great episodes and guests we've featured in the past.
And if you want to learn more about Matt and Josh and check out the best articles for you to operate your attraction most successfully, be sure to visit us at attractionpros.com.